Good morning. I hope that you will keep your Bibles open to Acts chapter 2. We'll be taking the thoughts of our lesson this morning from what occurs after the passage that was just read to you just a moment ago. Before we do that, though, I want to say how good it is to see everyone here this morning. We have a good number of our own people here, which is good. It's good that you recognize your responsibility to your family in Christ, and that you're here this morning to not only worship God, which is our primary goal, but that you're here to encourage one another and to be encouraged. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I am here this morning. We also have visitors with us. We want you to know we're happy that you've come our way, and we certainly invite you back every opportunity that you have to come and to be with us. If you look around the building this morning, you see things that are missing that are normally here. And the reason for that is, as Don said, we had a taking out stuff day yesterday. I think there were close to 30 who are here, actually, for that time. Some got a little overzealous and took some things that are typically on display on Sundays, but that's okay. We can live without the song list board for one service. For those of you who are visiting with us, and for those of you of our members who have been living under a rock somewhere, this is our last Sunday here at this building for about 4 months. We'll be meeting at the Spring Creek Church's building in Plano at the corner of Spring Creek and Custer for the time being while this building is being added on to. We're adding on to the auditorium. We're adding classroom space, a new resource room, and things of that nature. Those things just take time. I do hope, though, that you will grab a bulletin because it gives you the instructions on how to find the Spring Creek building. There's a map in there and an address on the back page. And the service times while we are there are posted on the front page of that bulletin. Just run by that with you very quickly. We'll be meeting instead of Wednesday nights for Bible classes. We'll be meeting on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock for our midweek Bible study. And on Sundays, we will be meeting at 2 o'clock for Bible classes and at 2:50 for worship. I hope that that is not too terribly inconvenient for anyone, but I do want you to consider that what we are in here this morning is not the church. This building is not the church. It is not our family. We are the church. We are the family of God, and it makes no difference where we are meeting and at what time we are meeting to worship God. We are no less family at Spring Creek than we will be here at West Allen. I hope you'll keep that in mind. You'll endeavor as often as you can to be at those Sunday and Thursday night services. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." The first part of Acts chapter 2 tells us that on the day of Pentecost, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, that the apostles received the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, and the result of that was that they were able to speak in tongues. The apostle Peter seems to take the initiative here. He seems to be at the forefront in presenting a sermon that not only explained what was going on with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in these 12 men, But also, it was a sermon about Jesus Christ and how Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And then in the passage that Lance read to us just a moment ago, he extended the invitation. He noted that the Jesus that they had crucified, God had raised up, and that this Jesus had ascended to the Father's side. And there He reigns as Lord in Christ. The people believed now that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And they asked, what do we do now? What's left for us to do so that this sin of crucifying the Son of God is not laid to our charge? And Peter told them there in verse 38 to repent of their sins, be baptized to have their sins forgiven. They might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit there in that passage is the promise of the Spirit, the promises that the Spirit had delivered and would deliver through these apostles of salvation in Jesus Christ. 3,000 people heard that message and obeyed that message that day. And that's the end of verse 41. So you have the establishment of the church in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. What verses 42 and following do is answer the question, now what? We have 3,000 members of the Lord's church there in Jerusalem. What do they do now? They're Christians. They have salvation in Jesus Christ. What happens now? These passages, these verses answer that question. And what happened now was not that each person just kind of went to their own house and kind of kept living the way they had lived and everything was kind of status quo and they kept to themselves and all those kinds of things. What happened now was that they recognized a special relationship that they had with one another as fellow Christians. And Acts 2 verse 42 and following tells us that they acted on that relationship. There are three things that were present here in these first days of the church at Jerusalem that are described there in verses 42 and following. The first thing was that they engaged themselves in steadfast spiritual activity. Verse 42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 46 says they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And so they were steadfast in spiritual interest. They continued steadfastly in four things, he says. First of all, the apostles' doctrine. They were listening to the teaching of the apostles, and it appears that was going on every day. But not only that, it says they continued in fellowship. And really, it's not there in the English, but in the Greek, there is the definite article, the. They continued in the fellowship. That is joint participation with one another. Well, what it's saying there is they worshiped God together. They sang together. They did those things together that God wanted them to do together that would boost their spirituality and make them closer together and make them closer to God. And it is important, I think, for us to note that when joint participation is described as fellowship, in the New Testament, it is always describing participation in a spiritual activity. What we are doing here this morning is fellowship. It is joint participation in spiritual activity. Now, a number of people may go out after this worship service this morning, after this time of spiritual activity, and they may go to a restaurant and eat a meal together. That is not what the Bible describes as fellowship. Fellowship, always in the Bible, is describing spiritual activity that is jointly participated in by the people of God. And they were continually, steadfastly doing those things. The third thing it says is that they were breaking the bread. And the definite article, the, is in front of bread there. They were breaking the bread. In verse 46, the idea of breaking bread from house to house is there. The definite article is not in front of bread in that passage. It is breaking bread in verse 46. It is breaking the bread in verse 42. The significance of that, combined with the fact that what is being described definitely in the other three activities are spiritual activities in verse 42. This also is therefore a spiritual activity. They were partaking of the Lord's Supper together. And we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 where the Lord's Supper is also described as the breaking of bread in that passage. And so they were listening to what the apostles had to say. They were worshiping God together. On the Lord's Day, they were breaking the bread together. And it says also they were continuing in prayers. And again, the definite article is there in the Greek as well. In this description, they were continuing steadfastly in the prayers. The significance of that seems to be that they were steadfastly devoting themselves and all these other things, and also in the idea of what we might call prayer meetings. They were engaging the activity, the kind of activity that described in Acts chapter 12, in verses 5 and 12, where Luke's mother's house was a place where people had met together when Peter was in prison, and they were gathered there in a prayer meeting. They were praying for Peter together. Now, verse 46 says that these four things they were engaged in, at least to some extent, some of these four things they were engaged in day to day in the temple. Daily in the temple they were together. I do not believe that verse 42 is saying that they met on Sunday and these are the four things they did together on Sunday. I believe what he is describing in verse 42 are different activities, some of which went on every day to some extent. They didn't partake of the Lord's Supper every day because that is a first day of the week command. But it does appear that they had opportunity to listen to the apostles' doctrine to some extent at various times during the week, and also to worship at various times in the week, to engage in prayer in various times of the week. It could be that the message went out that Peter would be at the temple on Monday morning at 2 o'clock. If you want to hear what Peter has to say and you have the opportunity to do that, come to the temple at 2 o'clock. And Peter will be there. Tomorrow night, there will be a gathering of Christians to pray. If you want to be part of that, then come together and pray. The point is, it seems from verse 46, that Sunday worship, where the Lord's Supper was being observed, was only a portion of what it meant to be participating in the spiritual activity that was going on in the church at Jerusalem. Gathering together on the first day of the week is not only important for Christians to do, it is absolutely essential for Christians to do. And we need to understand that when we're not here on the first day of the week to break bread with other Christians, we have violated the will of God because He wants His people to gather, worshiping Him together, and to not do so, to forsake that is a sin, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. But what I want you to understand is that as important as worship is on the Lord's Day, it is not the only important thing that Christians do together. Christians need to be together at other times too, participating in study of God's Word, singing together and praying together. It is unfortunate that for so many, Being together with other Christians for spiritual activity begins and ends on the first day of the week. If that describes you, and as a result of that, you are not spiritually what you ought to be, then I would encourage you to get together with other Christians and do spiritual things together. You know, we have a service on Sunday nights. We won't have it for 4 months, but when we get back in the building, we'll have services on Sunday night at 6 o'clock too. Those are important opportunities to get together with other Christians and worship God together. On Wednesday nights in 4 months, and right now on Thursday nights, Christians will be getting together and studying God's Word together. And those are important times for God's people. That midweek service, our elders have scheduled it because it's important that Christians get together and that they study together and that they pray together. They worship God together. Not only were they continuing steadfastly in spiritual activity, but they were also engaged in concern for one another's physical needs in verses 44 and 45. Let's read it again. He says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." I would suggest to you that the point that Luke is making here is not that this church was engaging in communism. That is where everyone, when a person became a Christian, they were forced to give all of their possessions into a common pool, and then it was spread out to everyone equally. That's communism. And that's not what Luke is describing here. First century church was not communistic. Instead, what he is describing here is deep sacrificial concern for one another. You know, there are unusual things about the church in Jerusalem that made the selling of possessions and goods necessary in order to take care of all of the physical needs that were there in that church at that time. Very unusual kind of things going on in the church at Jerusalem. If those unusual things occurred here at West Allen, I believe what Acts 2 is saying is we would have the same responsibility to sell our goods, to sell our possessions, and to distribute as people had need. Verses 44 and 45 are instruction on how to handle a financial crisis in the local congregation. The way those financial crises are handled is with overwhelming generosity. While the situation in Jerusalem might have been unusual, the attitude that God calls them to have in the church at Jerusalem is not unusual. It is the attitude that God expected of all of His people and all of His congregations. And so we see the same kind of loving and sacrificial attitude evident in the churches of Macedonia as they later on, many years later, contributed to the needs of the church at Jerusalem. Paul's exhortation to the church at Corinth to imitate the Macedonian loving sacrificial attitude. And he says, "You give as needed and you give generously," just like the Macedonians have done. He's describing an attitude there. The situation was unusual in Jerusalem. The attitude that took care of the situation was to be common. The attitude that says, "I am willing to sacrifice whatever needs to be sacrificed for the good of my brethren," is something that God calls His people to do every single day of their lives. And so there was concern for physical needs. Third thing that was going on in Jerusalem is the enjoyment of one another's company. In verse 46, So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They broke bread. They shared meals together from house to house. I would suggest to you that that is not the full extent of what it means in the Word of God when it says that God's people are to be hospitable, but it is certainly an important aspect of God's command to be hospitable. Throughout the New Testament, sharing time, sharing social time together, being hospitable to one another, sharing meals in one another's homes, that's an important way of saying to someone, you are valuable to me. And that was important to the life of this church in Jerusalem, and it is important to the life of all of God's people in every generation of God's people. I want you to go over to Romans chapter 12. And I want you to see that the same things that the Jerusalem church was doing there in those days immediately following its establishment are things that Paul said to the church in Rome that they needed to be busily engaged in, continually, steadfastly devoted to. Turn over there to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 6. Says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What? Be concerned about steadfast spiritual activity. Stay spiritually active with one another. Use the gifts God has given to you to help one another spiritually. And then he adds in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Again, spiritual activity. Emphasize the relationship that you have with one another and build on that relationship with one another by worshiping God together, by encouraging one another in those spiritual activities that you do together. That is what Paul is encouraging the church to do. Be like Jerusalem. Learn a lesson from Jerusalem. Continue steadfastly in these things. And then he says in verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, what? Concern for one another's physical needs, and then given to hospitality. Enjoyment of one another's company. Saying to one another through the time that we spend together, you are valuable to me. All of those things are important to the vitality of the local church and every individual member in it. So those are the three things that were going on in Jerusalem. Now let me share with you four things that resulted from the three things that they were doing together. First of all, there was gladness in verse 46. This was a satisfied, this was a happy church. But not only that, in verse 47, God was being praised. They were a satisfied, happy church, and they knew who to thank for it. Who to praise for it, who resulted in it. And so they were a church that gave praise to God. Thirdly, they were having favor with all the people. They stood out from the crowd. Now you think about that for a minute. In the temple at Jerusalem, there would be all kinds of spiritual activity going on, all kinds of groups gathering together. But there was something different about this group, something that gained the attention of people. Something that was very likable about who these people were and what these people were doing together. And so they gained the favor of the people. There was something impressive there. And we need to remember that the world is looking at us. The world is looking at us through its microscope. And it is making judgments about Jesus Christ. It's making judgments about Christianity based on what they see in you and in me and in our relationship with one another. Finding favor with all the people. People looked at these people in their relationship together and they said, that's a good thing that's going on. And what would naturally follow that? There were people who were being saved. Verse 47 says the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, aren't all of these things that we want the West Allen Church to be? Don't we want all of us to be satisfied, happy, glad people? Don't we want for the Lord to be praised in the way that we conduct ourselves together? Isn't it our desire to find favor in the community that we live in? When people see us, to see something that is valuable and that can be valuable to them, aren't we wanting to grow, not just spiritually, but numerically? Isn't that one of our important goals? Gladness, praising God, favor with the people, people being added to the Lord's church. That is what we want to be. Here's what I want to suggest to you. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 is a pattern for effective evangelism. Now, what's not there? What do you not read about in Acts 2, 42 through 47? It doesn't say, and the church was busily engaged in cold door knocking, does it? It doesn't say that the church was busily engaged in making up and mailing out mass mailings, does it? It doesn't say that the church was busily engaged in other activities, kind of as an organized way of specifically targeting non-Christians. Now here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that those things aren't good things. They are good things. And if you want to go out door knocking, I would encourage you, go out door knocking. If you want to engage in mass mailings to the community, I would encourage you, have at it. Here's what I'm saying to you. You can door knock all you want. You can mass mail the universe. You can do all kinds of other things. But if you're not doing, first and foremost, what is in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, then whatever else you are doing is not going to make a lick of difference. This is the way that churches have always grown from that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 until this day. And here's the neat thing about that. What Jerusalem was doing was really enjoyable things. They were gathering together and listening to God's Word together. They were getting together and praying together. They were getting together and partaking of the Lord's Supper together. They were getting together and singing praises to God together. I'll tell you, that's the good things. That's the enjoyable things about Christianity. They were sharing meals together. That's an enjoyable thing about Christianity. What they were doing was the enjoyable part of what Christianity is all about. It wasn't something that they had to drag themselves to do. It wasn't something that they had to beg one another to do. It is something that was important. It was something that was joyful that they were doing together. And the result of it was, as they did these enjoyable things, these things that brought joy and gladness to them, the world saw it, and the world was impressed, and the world said, I want to be a part of that. Enjoyable things. You want to be a strong, happy Christian? Acts 2, verses 42 through 47 tells you how to do it. You be involved in those things that promote gladness. As we close this morning, do you want to be a Christian? Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is your Lord. Be baptized to have your sins forgiven in His blood. The Lord will add you to His church in the universal sense of the saved. And you can join yourself with the church in the local sense. A local congregation that studies together, that worships together, that remembers the Lord together, that prays together. You can be a part of that. And you can grow in strength, and you can grow in joy. And you can continue to grow in strength and grow in joy until you come to the end of this life. You gather around the throne of God in heaven. All of those who've gone on before you and all those who will go on after you, and worship God before His throne for eternity. The splendid joy, eternal joy of heaven. Can we help you to obey the gospel this morning? If we can, I want you to let us know how we can by coming forward right now as together we stand and sing.